You are listening to the Small Screen Podcast, part of the Invasion Radio Podcast Network. For pop culture and movie chat, check out the Popcast Podcast, and for insight on the hottest music, listen to the speaker box below. You can find all of the Invasion Radio podcasts at screeninvasion.com.
Hi, and welcome to the Small Screen Podcast, episode 51. I'm one of the co-hosts, Crystal Bailey, editor-in-chief at Screen Invasion, and I'm here with Marcos.
Hi, everyone. I'm Marcos Canales from SmallScreenHappenings.com, TheTelevixen.com, and ScreenInvasion.com.
And this is a Small Screen Podcast, talking about all things TV, what we're watching, the latest news, and so on. So let's just get into it. There were some interesting news tidbits this week. I guess the big one for our listeners are the Happy Endings fans. You guys are going to have to wait until March 29th to watch the next episode now because it's getting moved to Fridays, which is never really a good sign. Marcos, what are your thoughts on the news?
I've been pretty open about my love for Happy Endings, so I'm a pretty big fan. And honestly, I was disappointed to hear that they were going to be moving Happy Endings to Friday nights. But in the end, this is just ABC being ABC, because they've never known what to do with Happy Endings. Even from the start, they put it on a really crappy time slot in the mid-season, and they've moved it around a lot. And this season in particular, where they tried it on Sundays, and then they moved it back and forth, and they stopped the Sunday airings, and now to sequester it to Friday nights, it's par for the course when it comes to this network and this show in particular. And I guess I should be happy that they're at least letting the season run its course, unlike Don't Trust the Bee, which was unofficially canceled a few weeks ago. But it's not good for the show. It's probably the final sign that its time on NBC is up. Even if it has lowered expectations being on a Friday night, it just doesn't seem like it's in the cards for the show, and it could potentially hurt its viability going somewhere else. So this very well might be the final season of Happy Endings, which would be a shame because I do like the show and I want it to be successful. But on the flip side, trying to be optimistic, this is a show that shouldn't have had three seasons to begin with, so I should be happy with that. But I still think there's a little bit of juice left. I just hope it has a chance somewhere else, but that's doubtful now based on what ABC's been doing with it, moving around all over the place.
Yeah, so you don't think like TBS or something would pick it up? Or?
I mean, there's always a possibility just because it comes from Sony Pictures Television, and that company is known to do whatever it can to keep its shows alive. The best example is, what was it, Till Death, which was the show on Fox that lived on way past its expiration date. And it was always the theory that Sony Pictures essentially gave that show away for free in order for it to boost its numbers for syndication purposes and things like that. And, I mean, there's an outside chance that that still might be in play because a fourth season of Happy Endings would obviously pad its numbers. So that way, if it wants to sell it to – so if Sony wants to sell it to, say, Comedy Central or TBS like ABC Studios did with Cougar Town, that could somehow work out. The biggest difference between Cougar Town and Happy Endings, though, is Cougar Town had the support of ABC even though it wasn't doing well. Like, it had a somewhat steady run. They didn't move around the schedule as much, and it was produced by its sister company, ABC Studios. So it had incentive to try to cut a deal with TBS. Sony may have that upper hand as well, but I don't think that the support is as strong for this particular show as it was for Cougar Town. So I don't want to rule anything out, but it's pretty clear that this is not the same type of caliber show as Cougar Town was, at least from a extended life after its run situation.
Now, that is too bad, because I feel like Happy Endings is like even definitely more beloved by like fans and critics than Cougar Town even.
And I could see that, but I think in some ways it's the same situation with Community, which oddly enough is also a Sony Pictures TV product, whereas it's a smaller group of fans, but they're more vocal in some ways, I would think. And just from a quality standpoint, I do think that Happy Endings is still on its game, whereas Cougar Town has slipped a little bit. So I can definitely see that, but I just don't feel like, from a business standpoint, Happy Endings has as much clout as, say, Cougar Town did when it made its move. I mean, I would love TBS to pick it up, and I think it would be a perfect fit for that network, especially if they decided to pair it up with Cougar Town. But, you know, my optimism for that kind of move happening has been severely diminished with this move to Friday nights. And it may not even be related, but that's just the way I'm feeling at this point in time.
That's understandable. So in other news, New Girl and the Mindy Project are going to have like a test week where they're going to be on Thursday instead of Tuesday. And honestly, I don't follow ratings nearly as closely as you do, so I was just wondering what your thoughts on this were.
I do think it's a good move because it's been pretty clear that Fox's Tuesday night comedy block has been mostly a bust. You know, Ben and Kate didn't do as well as they would have liked, and Raising Hope is doing steady business. But the biggest casualty, I think, was New Girl, because its ratings just weren't as good as they were last season. And you can blame that on lead-ins and things like that. Obviously, it's not the time slot because it's still where it was last year. But I do think it's a good move because it does give Fox some scheduling possibilities. They could potentially see how it does on a Thursday night after an American Idol. And if New Girl and Mini Project do well, they could definitely think about moving it permanently to that spot next season. And, you know, even though I love the show, I really am a big New Girl fan, its ratings have dipped, and it does need protection at this point because it is one of Fox's few bona fide hits, and it really can't risk it losing any more viewership. And if it can somehow bump its numbers up a little bit and give it a little bit of a padding with a bigger, stronger lead-in, I think that would be good. That being said, it's debatable whether American Idol and X Factor actually helped Glee out, but it's kind of apples and oranges. New Girl might be more appealing to a broader audience, and so it very well may do phenomenal numbers after such a decent lead-in. We'll just have to see, but it's smart in the end for Fox to try this out. Whether they decide to pull the trigger permanently or not is another story, but it's business, and it's a good move in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, I think Thursdays could be a good move because Tuesdays are pretty packed, and once the NBC comedies all, like, once the Office series finale happens, and who knows what's happening with the rest of NBC's Thursday night comedies, like, they haven't renewed Parks and Rec yet, Community could be its last season or anything, so, like, maybe going into next season, Thursday could be a good comedy block time for Fox because there's, you know, going to be that open space.
And that's definitely a good point because especially if you take NBC out of the equation because there's such a big question mark at this point. If you look at counter programming, it's a safe bet that CBS will keep Person of Interest there. It's even a safer bet that ABC is going to stick with Grey's Anatomy. And there's probably some carryover with Grey's Anatomy and New Girl, but I do think that the comedy landscape is going to be wide open because NBC doesn't have that immediate replacement for The Office. And this could be Fox just making a really, you know, crucial and shrewd move to take over that night, which has been, Thursday or NBC's crown jewel for the longest time. But if it can seize an opportunity and do a crushing blow to its competition, then go for it. And I do think that New Girl could be the show to do that. Mindy Project, you know, I'm not as confident with that, and I kind of wish there was another show that was getting this kind of treatment, but, you know, I've been very vocal about my disappointment in that show, so maybe you can shed more light on that if it's worthy of being a Thursday night comedy. But definitely New Girl deserves it.
I think the Mindy Project is, at least in the growth I've seen so far this season, it is only going to get better, you know, in theory, as they kind of hone in on The Voice and work out the kinks, as they've been doing all season long. And it honestly is the best pairing for New Girl. Like, I don't know what else could be as complimentary in terms of comedy blocks that, or, you know, that Fox has at their fingertips. So I think it makes sense to move them both together, even though Mindy, ratings-wise and critically-wise, isn't quite at the same level as New Girl. I mean, it has the potential, and it just fits together better.
And that makes sense, but the key thing that you brought up is its ratings. I mean, there's a chance that it may not even get a second season. I don't know if Fox is in that dire straits at this point when it comes to its comedies, and I don't know what it has in the chamber in terms of pilots. And it's true. I mean, I don't see Raising Hope and New Girl being a strong pairing, and unfortunately Ben and Kate was canceled, and I do think those two shows are a little bit more complimentary. That's probably because I'm just more biased towards Ben and Kate, and I'll be very honest about that. But, I mean, it could be a good opportunity for them to try out a new comedy as well. What it comes down to, though, is I do think in the long run, New Girl on Thursday nights makes a lot of sense. And you know, what that means for Glee is a whole other bag of worms or can of worms. But that show has proven that it can kind of survive wherever it's put on Fox's schedule. So I'm not as concerned, and I'd rather see them be successful with New Girl than try to prop up an aging Glee at this point.
Yeah, definitely agreed. And then the last bit of news, The Americans, the new show on FX, was just renewed for a second season. It's only aired like 4 episodes, but the ratings were pretty strong. So what are your thoughts on the renewal? I know we both watch, but we're not really completely sold on the show yet. At least I'm not. So what do you think?
Yeah, from a creative standpoint, I tend to agree with you. It's decent enough, and there's certain things that I like about it and certain things I'm not wild about. But just from the standpoint of FX, I think it's a good move because it does freshen up that network's brand. You know, it's been known for its outlaw, anti-hero, male-driven shows, and it's refreshing to see something like The Americans, which could be argued that it is a female-led show with Keri Russell, along with, say, American Horror Story, which has been Jessica Lange's vehicle for a while now. I just like the fact that FX is trying to broaden its scope, and I think this show, with the addition of, say, an American Horror Story, is just good business because it's something new and different for that particular cable station.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I do think it's good. It's good that they're broadening because, like you said, they were very niche with the anti-hero, like Justified and Sons of Anarchy, which admittedly are shows that I don't watch, but they're like on my list, but my ever-growing list of shows to watch. But I mean, I tuned into The Americans because it seemed so different from their other fare. Like, I enjoy the spy element. I enjoy that it's essentially a female lead. And so I think while I'm still having some issues with, like, pacing and, like, if I think it's actually, like, a great show or not, I think it's good enough where I'm tuning in, and I am excited that it's getting another season.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you bring up pacing because that's an issue I had with it early on with that pilot, and we talked a little bit about that. And I will say later episodes, I thought, tend to do a little bit better with that. There's just some story elements that I'm not quite buying into just yet, but I do like the spy games end of things, like them, you know, evading the FBI and all of these things. Like, that's really captivating stuff. But yeah, it definitely has some room to improve, but from a larger television landscape, it's just good to have this kind of show on the air right now.
Definitely agree. So yeah, that wraps up the news. What have you been watching this week? What TV stands out?
The show I wanted to talk about this week is Sci-Fi's Being Human, which we talked about a few episodes ago. But the reason why I wanted to bring it up again is because right now this might be my favorite television show on air. It's just doing a lot of things right in terms of storytelling and character development. And this last episode in particular was just really great because I knew that Liam was going to cause trouble, but I really did not see him turning Nora and Aaron against Josh and Aiden the way that he's been doing. And the idea of Josh having to choose between Nora and Aiden is just captivating stuff. Like, that's just got me hooked, and I can't wait to see where this goes. and the fact that they've brought Erin back in her role and taking down Aiden for Liam's purposes, like, all of that stuff was just great. I will say, unfortunately, Sally's arc hasn't been as strong as I would have liked. I'm not loving it as much as I should because I love that character. She's probably my favorite character on the show. It just feels like she's been floundering the last couple episodes. So I'm hoping that the fact that she sold her soul in order to keep her loved ones from dying will pay off in the end, because I do feel like that's grounded her story in a way. Right now, top to bottom, I'm just loving what Being Human's doing in its third season. Have you caught up with it? Have you been keeping in touch with Being Human this year?
Yeah, and I totally agree. This last episode was amazing and super strong. I feel like I totally hear what you're saying about Sally in the last few episodes, and I think that with her like condition, I guess, where she couldn't go out, she was really trapped, and that kind of kept her storyline very confined and a little boring because it was, you know, so limited. And so now that she's like sold her soul and like this opens up like a whole new like world of options that her character can go into, and what will happen with the witch doctor and everything, I think it'll turn her story around a bit and make it a bit more exciting, because I do agree that the last few episodes for her haven't been as strong. And then, yeah, the pack storyline where Josh is going to have to choose between his, like, pack and Nora or Aiden is going to pay off big, I think. It's very exciting.
Definitely. And you made a great point about Sally, just because since day one she's always been confined, which is a, you know, something I did just not realize. I mean, as a ghost, she couldn't really do all that much until she figured out how to leave the house. But even then, it was very limited. So I'm hoping, like you said, the fact that she can actually go out into the world and live will be able to liven things up. And I do think that it's on a very predictable path in terms of her trying to figure out a way to renege on her deal with the witch in order to keep her soul. I think that's a very natural place for it to go. But even that is more interesting than what they've been doing with her over the last, I would even say, a season and a half. Because even last year's arc wasn't all that great with her being a Reaper and going crazy and stuff like that and being stuck in limbo. I mean, on paper, all that stuff sounds interesting, but for some reason, they just haven't been able to make things click with her. And like I said, I love her so much that I want her to have a good, meaty storyline, and hopefully this is the start of it. But getting back to the boys, what do you feel about Aiden essentially coming out to the kid in the bubble? Like, how do you think that's going to impact things down the line? Because it's interesting enough, but, you know, it just felt tacked on to the more important stuff in terms of Josh and Nora and what's going on with them.
Yeah, it's definitely like a smaller plot point, but I don't know. I mean, it's kind of interesting. I mean, I like that kid. The actor, I think, is doing a great job with what he's been given. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see if he, like, does turn him, or, like, how that whole storyline's going to play out, because he was saying how if he's a vampire or not, he's just going to walk out when he's 18, which pretty much means death.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see, like, how Aiden goes about that, like, if he lets the kid, like, commit suicide, essentially, or if he turns him, even with the state of the blood and everything, who knows. So, I mean, it is a very, like, a much smaller plot point than everything else going on in, you know, the grand scheme of things, but I think it's been a nice, like, moment so far in the show.
And I agree, and I think that it's just interesting because that kid looks a lot like Henry, which, you know, he just went through seeing his quote-unquote child dying of the virus, and so that could definitely play a role. But, again, like I said earlier, everything that this show is doing right now, you know, even when it's, you know, slumping a little bit in terms of Sally's arc and everything like that, it's still, in my opinion, one of the best shows on TV right now.
Yeah, definitely agree. It's been kind of firing on all cylinders this season.
Yep. What about you? What have you been watching this week?
So what I want to talk about is The Vampire Diaries, which this season has been kind of hit or miss, but I did think they did a great job with the last episode. Spoilers, guys, seriously. So fast forward if you don't want to know. But in the last episode, they dealt with Jeremy's death. And I'm, like, hesitant to put that in quotes because it did seem so final. Like, you know, this show, they have a lot of people die, given the nature of the city, of the little town they're in and the mystical feature, like, people and everything. So, I mean, a lot of people die in the show and come back and die again. You know, Jeremy himself has died a number of times and then come back with the help of the ring. But this one, with the way they handled it, and the whole episode was dedicated to, like, grieving his character, felt really final. And I thought they handled it very well, and, like, the way that Nina Dobrev and Elena, you know, portrayed that was great. And how it ended I thought was really interesting because, so the sire bond with Damon and Elena, you know, it's been a plot point this whole season. Stefan and Caroline, they want Damon to use that sire bond to, like, help her get over her grief. And instead of, like, calming her down, he just has her turn off her humanity entirely, which is far beyond what they wanted him to do. But it could be argued that it worked. I mean, she's not going to be grieving. But, yeah, so I thought the whole episode was done really well. And now it'll be interesting to see how Elena is without her humanity, since that has been her defining, like, she, you know, everybody would say that she had so much grief and love, and, like, she was just so passionate. That was, like, what Stefan loved about her. They loved that she felt things so strongly. So now for her to have that turned off, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next episode. I know you watched. What did you think of the episode and the death, and if it's a death or, you know, another one of those coming back deaths?
Yeah. You touched on the main issue I've had with this storyline and the show in general, which is death is very rarely final when it comes to the Vampire Diaries. I mean, they kill Damon and Stefan and Rebecca on a weekly basis. And Caroline. All the vampires die because they snap each other's necks every single week. And they always come back, which I know is part of the whole vampire thing. I get that. But even like you said, with the ring and Jeremy and Alaric, like, they've died so many times and come back. And yes, this feels a little bit more final because he was supernatural and the ring only helps humans. And so that's a way for them to try to make us think that he's really dead for good. But then up until them lighting the house on fire, all they talked about was how Bonnie can now raise the supernatural dead and her struggling with if that's something she wants to do in order to bring Jeremy back. And they tried to write themselves out of a corner by adding the caveat that every supernatural being will come back to life, and that's something they don't want to unleash on the world. But this is the kind of show that would try to do something like that anyway and then just deal with the ramifications later. So I'm very hesitant to say that this is it for Jeremy. We're going to see him back in some form. I'm pretty confident with that, even if it's a ghost. Like, we've already seen Alaric come back in that form. So, and I'm a little bit more accepting of that approach because it does fit within this show, and it does still keep that finality piece to it. But it's when it comes to these supernatural CW shows, I'm never going to assume someone's dead and gone for good, because all of them figure out a way to renege on that and backtrack and bring them back. So I'm at least appreciative that they're telling us up front that this is something they might do down the road, as opposed to trying to pull a fast one on us. So I do appreciate that. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, like, so I know they're probably going to try to bring back all the supernatural people, you know, get rid of that supernatural heaven, hell, afterlife, whatever it is, and then have them all come back. Cause yeah, that does seem the direction Bonnie and the show is going in, where they're going to try to have that last massacre and draw upon that power. But, like, I feel like even if she succeeds, you know, there's going to be, like, a twist where it's like, they're not actually themselves being back. You know, it's like some twisted version of them or something, because, you know, too many people have died for them to just come back as normal. So if it's like some like messed up, demented, evil Jeremy and Grams and Alaric and all these people, that I'm okay with, because he's not really coming back then. You know, if he's not really coming back as Jeremy.
Yeah, and that's definitely a possibility. But they've done that. They did that with Alaric and his Jekyll and Hyde stint last season. So it was something that freshened things up and reinvigorated that season. So I agree with you that if they somehow come up with a way to bring him back but not quite the same way, yeah, I mean, that's all well and good. I mean, but we've seen Supernatural do that with Castiel, and we've seen it so many times that it's a well that these shows go to way too often, and I would like to see something a little bit different. But regardless, I mean, I'm still a big fan of the show, and I'm still enjoying it, even though it has been hit or miss, like you've said. But I did want to touch on Elena a little bit, because I've been very vocal that she's my least favorite character on this show, and maybe I've gone a little bit too far with my hatred of her as a character and said things that I probably shouldn't have. But I am more on board with her now that she has her humanity turned off, because I do think the fact that she cares too much is one of the reasons why I haven't really gotten on board with her to begin with, is because she's a little too optimistic, which I guess is somewhat good for a show like this, but she just played that role, I mean, I guess too well. Like, she was just annoying when she was always trying to stop from bad things from happening and getting herself into trouble because she's too idealistic and things like that, and that led to her being the damsel in distress way too many times. So her not getting herself into those situations based on her humanity could be really captivating stuff to watch. And I do like Nina Dobrev when she's not Elena. Like, when she's Catherine, she's phenomenal.
Oh, well, she's great when she's Catherine, yeah.
And so I do think this gives her an opportunity to show another side to her character and her acting set, her skill set. And so I'm excited to see that. Any different shade of Elena is good, in my opinion. So even though I can also see them somehow, again, going back to the status quo down the line, I am intrigued to see what they do with her in the next couple of episodes.
Yeah, me too.
If for anything, hopefully this will finally convince Stefan to get rid of her once and for all. And right now, I'm totally rooting for him and Rebecca, or him and Caroline, or all three of them together. That would be awesome.
I do like Stefan and Caroline. And yeah, even Stefan and Rebecca is more exciting, because the reason why I think Stefan and Elena were not the best, like, couple to watch on TV is because they were both, like, you know, such good people. Like, it's just, it gets boring after a while when he is, you know, the hero and she's the optimistic, I guess, damsel in distress sometimes. Like, so that's why, like, Elena and Damon is much more interesting than Elena and Stefan and Caroline, or Stefan and Rebecca, or yes, even the three is way more interesting than just Stefan and Elena, because they were just too, like, straight and narrow, trying to be good, yeah, for it to really be all that engaging.
And to piggyback off that really quickly, I still do not get why people love Damon. He used Rebecca as a human shield and let her get shot by an arrow. How is that dreamy?
She wouldn't have died.
But still.
She would not have died.
But still, he used a woman to block an arrow coming at him. How is that? She's not evil.
She's pretty evil.
She's misunderstood.
Evilly misunderstood.
Okay. We'll move on now.
But, so yeah, I guess that's really the only show I wanted to talk about, because the episode did stand out for me. So what are you looking forward to in the next week of television?
To be honest, not much. A lot of premieres have already happened, and there's not anything really debuting for the next couple of weeks, aside from the ABC Celebrity Diving Show, which I could probably definitely do without. So I'm not looking forward to anything like that. I guess if I have to pick something, I'll say the Oscars, even though it's been a while since I've been truly engaged with the ceremony. At least this year, I will say I have a horse in the race, so that will keep me somewhat interested. And I do want to see how Seth MacFarlane does, so I might check in for the at the beginning to see his opening monologue and maybe towards the end when Best Picture's announced. But other than that, nothing's on my radar. What about you?
I'm definitely going to watch the Oscars. We're going to live blog and live tweet it over on Screen Invasion, so check it out. And I do want to see how Seth MacFarlane does, just because normally, you know, they go with a movie star to host these things. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to see that they gave it to somebody who is in the TV space. Yes, he has the movie Ted, but he's in the TV space. And he did a pretty good job on SNL, which I think is a good indicator of how he could do on the Oscars, because that is live and you have to, you know, improvise a little bit, like see how, you know, you have to work the crowd and all that stuff. So I think he was a good choice, even though I'm not like a Family Guy fan or a Ted fan. I think he could do a good job. So I'll definitely be watching for him, and then also obviously for the awards. This is arguably one of the closest like Oscar races for like Best Picture and everything like in years. So I think that'll be interesting to see like who ends up actually winning it all.
What's your prediction for Best
Picture? For Best Picture, I want to say Argo. I think even though like a lot of people are hesitant to say Argo because he wasn't nominated for Best Director. Ben Affleck wasn't nominated for Best Director, and usually those go hand in hand. But I think Argo will win for Best Picture, and then like Lincoln and Steven Spielberg will win for Best Director, and they both like get big nods, because right now it seems like the closest race is Argo and Lincoln, with maybe a dark horse win for like Silver Linings Playbook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm pulling for Argo, but that's because I have a man crush on Ben Affleck. You know, I've always been a fan of his since Chasing Amy, so I've been relishing the fact that him and Argo has just been sweeping all the precursors. And I hope that's a good sign for Sunday, because I do think Argo is in the lead right now. And, you know, admittedly, I haven't seen Lincoln, so I can't speak on its quality. But Argo is just – this is the right time for Argo and that type of movie to win. And I'm hoping that that carries over, and the love for that movie carries over, and it gets Best Picture. So fingers crossed.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. And then the only other thing I'm – really looking forward to this week in TV is the return of Psych. We talked about this, I believe, just last week, but I do enjoy that show. I think it's consistently been strong, and like it hasn't really had a dip in quality, even though it's been on for a number of years. So I am excited for its return.
I would be excited too. I just haven't been caught up yet with the last season. I think the last episode I saw was the William Shatner episode. Maybe.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
So there's still a few episodes that I would like to catch before the premiere. Hopefully, fingers crossed, but I'm so behind on some of my TV watching that I don't know if I'm going to get around to it. But like you said, a good, solid, dependable show, and it's always good to have Psych come back. So.
Yep. So that pretty much wraps up the show. And, you know, for more TV talk, be sure to follow me on Twitter at Crystal_Bailey. And you can also follow at Invasion Radio and at Screen Invasion.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Papa's Two Cents.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks.